98.1 KZE. MK with you a little bit after 4 o'clock on your Monday. Delighted to welcome to the studio from Phoenicia, New York, Robert Burke Warren, who is playing on Friday evening at the local in Socrates. Robert?
Hey. What has happened down here is the wind has changed. Clouds roll in from the north and it starts to rain. Rain real hard and it rained for a real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. River rose all day, the river rose all night. Some people got lost in the flood. Some people got away all right. River has busted through, clear down to Plaquemine. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. Louisiana, Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana, Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. President Coolidge come down on the railroad train. A little fat man with a notepad in his hand. President said, little fat man, isn't it a shame what the river has done to this poor cracker's land? Louisiana, Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Louisiana, Louisiana, they're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away.
KZE. Robert Burke Warren, my guest in the studio. You like that? A little shuffle?
That was great, yeah. The songs are short. I should have told you that beforehand.
No. I'm always prepared to do the little reverb dance that I do.
Yes, it was good.
Friday night at the local in Socrates with Dennis Yeary on keys doing a Randy Newman tribute.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
You are... I feel like you're known as a tribute, quite a talented tribute artist at this point, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, it has that and as a Uncle Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. This is different though. But,
yeah, very much so. It started I guess the first tribute show that I did was a Johnny Cash tribute show actually.
Okay.
And then I did the Leonard Cohen one and then I did the Bowie one. And it astonished me in retrospect. It shouldn't have, I guess, but just that the fans of these artists that I love,
yeah,
and whose music is it means a lot to me. But also, I love being a song interpreter, and I'm a storyteller too, and I have a background in the theater, and so this gives me a chance to work those muscles as well, especially the Randy Newman show, because. The Bowie bash, of course, Bowie is renowned as being, you know, the songs are in the voices of characters.
Right.
Usually, a lot of that. And same thing with Johnny Cash, you know, he did not actually shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die. And he was not actually a boy named Sue. he's a storyteller as well. And Leonard Cohen as well. But this one in particular, because Randy Newman's characters are... so well drawn, and a lot of times they're difficult people. It's kind of like, as an actor, you know, actors frequently like to play the heavy, you know, or the more complicated, unusual person. And there's something about Randy Newman. He is a very, you know, politically speaking, he's very an ardent progressive Democrat, but he's also always from the get-go, when his first solo album came out, he's obsessed with unreliable narrators, SOBs, and getting into the like, oh well, for instance, in that song I just played, you know, not only does he talk about this actual flood that happened, this devastating, catastrophic flood, the flood of 1927, the Mississippi rose 30 feet, and what actually happened is the rich folks in the town diverted the flood to the poor people's cotton fields. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a lot of similarities to Katrina. And so President Coolidge did come down and survey everything, and they didn't really care about the poor folks who got more devastated than the rich folks.
Right.
But so that was part of the reason for that song. But, you know, President Coolidge comes down and says, oh, what a shame, this poor cracker with... Oh well, too bad.
Yeah,
let's go. But anyway, there's a lot of that in his songs. There's but there's this beautiful music. You know, he comes from showbiz royalty, Randy Newman. His uncle has, the Newman family has the most Oscar nominations of any family ever in history.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you because I'm curious. Do you have all of this knowledge already, or do you do research on the folks that you're doing tribute shows for? Or is it just that you've always loved Randy Newman this much and you're like, it's time?
Good question. My wife gave me a new biography of Randy Newman that just came out late last year by Robert Hilburn, who's known as, he's written the definitive biographies of Paul Simon and Johnny Cash, which are considered, you know, as good as it gets. And in his mind, Randy Newman is in the same league as Paul Simon and Johnny Cash and Dylan.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I read it. And
Randy
it
Newman
like,
maybe doesn't get his flowers as much. You know, I feel like a lot of people know him for, you know, probably like the Toy Story song, and maybe that's it.
Yeah.
So I like that you're shining a light on, you know, what an incredible songwriter he is.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Or people will say he's the guy that wrote Short People, right?
Right.
You know, which is this aberrant. It's kind of like I was talking to someone about that, my friend Daisy, and she was saying, yes, well, it's like Frank Zappa is known most as the guy that wrote Valley Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like, yeah, like the novelty, kind of funny, goofy.
Right. Yeah. You know, those are the songs that are the huge hits that everybody knows, but there's so much more there. But yeah, he of course my son was right in the Pixar sweet spot, you know, with the first movie he ever saw in a theater was Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
So we have a few Pixar songs in the set. I love those songs, but they're right alongside the one I just played. And there's a song that's sung in the voice of Huey Long, the governor of Louisiana. Who was this crazy, you know, a Democratic demagogue, you know, and the Randy Newman songs are a lot of times character sketches.
Yeah.
With this gorgeous music.
Right. And you enjoy the characterization aspect as much as the musical aspect.
I do.
Yeah.
I especially do. I love getting up there and playing an SOB.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what is that like when you're doing a tribute set and it differs from song to song? Is that hard to kind of switch modes each song, or what does that feel like?
No, not really. Yeah. I enjoy it. Sometimes I'll talk a little bit and set things up. Of course, the Bowie songs are, for the most part, really, that's the most, I don't know, the Johnny Cash songs as well. You don't really need to introduce those songs very much.
Yeah.
You just start playing them and people go, oh, I love that song.
Yep.
But I don't know. I'm going to read the room and see how it goes. You know, I don't like to talk too much. And I can usually, I've been doing this long enough where if I'm losing them, I'm like, okay, you need to stop talking and play the song. But no, I am fascinated by his career trajectory and also where he sits as a songwriter. And now, things being the way they are now in our with the politics and with everything that's going on, and the, you know, these songs have more teeth, really.
Yeah.
And he's able to write songs that really address racism and classism
Well, and growing up in the South, you know, that's something that he would have seen quite a bit of.
Well, he grew up, he spent summers in Los Angeles, but he spent summers in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. His mom was actually from New Orleans, but he grew up in Los Angeles, and his uncle, Alfred Newman, was a renowned composer for film and a conductor and arranger, and like the concert hall at UCLA is named after Randy Newman's uncle. Hmm. Anyway, so that was the world he grew up in. And initially he wanted to be a write music for movies, but he's too intimidated by his uncle, who was this fascinating, larger than life character. You know, at the beginning of 20th Century Fox, when you hear that, dun, da, da,
sure.
Da, 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 his uncle wrote that.
That's Alfred Newman?
Yes.
Wild.
Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking I'm going to see if Dennis can work that out for my entrance theme at the local on Friday.
But I feel like that should be doable.
But I do love these songs, and they run the gamut. You know, some of them are incredibly beautiful ballads, and he's not always, you know, this acerbic commentator on social ills. He writes really, really beautiful love songs as well.
Yeah.
And you know, there's the Pixar songs, which are we're doing, I think, three of those,
and they're classic for a reason. They're accessible, they're brilliantly written songs, you know, they're very well crafted.
They are, and I intend to make some people cry, so I'm gonna
good
if I can.
It's a good goal. Yeah.
But no, with the in tears of not tears of rage, but being moved
by music. It's a good feeling to be moved by music.
Yes.
Robert Burke Warren is my guest in the studio, playing at the local in Saugerties this Friday with a Randy Newman tribute. And you know, again, as you mentioned, you like to interpret songs, so we're not doing, like, you know, throw on a wig and pretend to be Randy Newman. We're doing a, you know, a loving loving tribute.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when I would do the Bowie show, people were like, what are you gonna wear? I'm like, a t-shirt. You know, these songs are eminently interpretable.
Right. I mean, not to, you know, bring it back to myself, but when I was doing the Taylor Swift thing, it's like, you know, nobody thinks I'm Taylor Swift, and I'm not trying to convince anybody I am. I'm just, you know, singing the songs in a way that, you know, my band can do that's fun, and, you know, everybody knows them. And yeah, so I'm right there with you. I love a good tribute show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we have this, especially, this is like American song at its best.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like, this is something, I mean, he draws from jazz. You know, he was a prodigy. Randy Newman was a piano prodigy. But then he heard Ray Charles, you know, and Ray Charles and Fats Domino and those guys were his inspirations to become. And then, you know, he started writing songs, but he was also influenced by stories, and he's an avid reader, and the Great American Songbook, and you can hear that in his,
yeah,
it's like sometimes he can rock out, you know, and he can do, like, You Can Leave Your Hat On or Mama Told Me Not to Come, which was probably the first Randy Newman song I ever heard, by Three Dog Night.
Oh, I don't know if I knew that that was a Randy Newman composition, but it makes a lot of sense now I'm thinking about it.
It is.
That was one. That's pure Randy.
That's very much it. Yeah, those guys. Yeah, they didn't write that, but that was one of his first big hits, and that one, and of course, like, he wrote "You Can Leave Your Hat On" when it came out on his first album, and I think, you know, of course,
Tom Jones,
mm-hmm. Joe Cocker, they had hits with that, and so he can do that, but then he can do a song like this. Shall I play another one? This is a song called Marie. This is a deep cut from his album, Good Old Boys. And this is a good example of, like, a love song from a troubled man. You looked like a princess on the night we met, with your hair piled up high, I could never forget. I'm drunk right now, baby, but I've got to be, or I never could tell you what you mean to me. I loved you the first time I saw you, and I always will love you, Marie. Yes, I loved you the first time I saw you, and I always will love you, Marie. You're the song that the trees sing when the wind blows. You're a flower, you're a river, you're a rainbow. Sometimes I'm crazy, but I guess you know. I'm weak and I'm lazy, and I hurt you so. And I don't listen to a word you say. And when you're in trouble, but I loved you the first time I saw you, and I always will love you, Marie. Yes, I loved you the first time I saw you, and I always will love you.
KZE. Robert Burke Warren has been my guest. You can see him at the local on Friday in Saugerties with Dennis Yeary performing the songs of Randy Newman. That was beautiful, and that's going to be a wonderful show.
Thanks, MK. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's going to be fun. Yeah. And, oh, I should also mention two notable things about this show.
Yeah.
It's my first show as a sexagenarian.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
Happy birthday.
You. Thank you. I'm milking that as much. I ran into one of my young students the other day, and they were like, did your birthday just happen? Did I miss your birthday? I'm like, yes and no. Let me tell you a little elder secret. You're old enough to know this now. Here's the deal. You know, once you, let's say, turn 30, mm-hmm. you can celebrate for like a month.
Yeah.
I'm right. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You going back me up on that?
I mean, I typically, honestly, I'm not much of a birthday person, but I have friends who are, and I support them in it.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, so there's that. And it's also my first, and you know, I have my trusty Martin D28 here with me today, but I'm not going to have this with me at the gig. I'm just singing. Mm-hmm. I'm just standing there with the mic.
And you're letting Dennis do the piano.
Dennis, yes, I'm going to stay out of Dennis's way. He has got this stuff down cold. It's a joy to play with the man. He's a jazz guy. He comes from jazz, so this is right up his alley. He's also got a mean left hand, so he can do a lot of the boogie-woogie, the boogie-woogie. And so there's that. So I'm going to be a stick man, as they say in R&B. I'm going to be the stick man.
But it's also you get to have a little bit more fun playing front man and, being more embodying those characters more fully.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have done it a little bit. Like when the Bowie Bash, there's a few songs where I just go out there and sing and Dennis plays. And that's fun. So I'm just going a little further, and this is the first time we've ever done this, and I'm excited about it. It's a new thing, and it's been great putting it together. I've learned so much. I've gone down the rabbit hole on this fascinating, wonderful American singer-songwriter deserves. He's doing all right.
I agree. He should get more flowers than he gets.
They love him in L.A. because he wrote "I Love L.A."
Okay,
you know, and that's
he's like the Billy Joel of.
yeah, he is. That's good. That's accurate. Yeah, it's funny. He wrote "I Love L.A." And then there's two of his songs. There's that one that gained this new, especially after the fires, you know, that became. When they did that tribute concert at the Hollywood Bowl, just everyone was singing that song at the top of their lungs. And when Katrina happened, Aaron Neville did a version of Louisiana 1927, which has now become kind of an anthem of, because there's a thing in that, is that they're trying to wash us away. And I think what I get from that is that they're trying, there's metaphorical significance in there.
Yeah.
They're trying to wash us away, but they're not going to.
That's right.
They will try, but if we just sing at the top of our lungs and keep doing what we're doing, go skiing in a snowstorm, driving 25 miles an hour to get to the slopes.
That's what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do, MK. But anyway, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Friday night at the local in Saugerties. Here's your community bulletin board. We've got Mo coming up around the bend.